Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Joshua is a dynamite of a book. Joshua is an action-packed book. And I like to read action-packed stuff. Amen. All the Bible's action-packed. Amen. But it is an action-packed book. And what I mean by that, man, there's a lot going on. They're battling in the book of Joshua. But boy, there's all kinds of blessings that is before them and after their battle. Amen. And how true that is in our lives. As Christians, we face battles on a daily basis, man. We really do. But boy, if we'll stay close to God and allow God to help us and give us the victory over those battles, it will be amazing what God will do in our lives. I want you to look at a few verses in chapter number 14. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter number 14, verse number 6 says this: "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy foot have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Goes on to say in verse number 10, And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." 45 years later, he's now 85 years old. And he says, "I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. Look what he says. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest it that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. Watch this. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Look back in verse 8. The latter portion said, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Again in verse number 9, it is stated that Caleb wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 14, the Bible said again, "Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." I want to begin a series tonight on "Give Me the Mountain." Give me the mountain. And I want to preach tonight on Caleb's commitment. Caleb's commitment. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. You know the need of every person sitting here, God, and I pray, Lord, that as we preach tonight, God, that you wouldn't allow your word to fall on deaf ears, God. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be open, Lord, to what you want us to hear and receive tonight. God, I pray that if there's anybody here lost, God, that you would save them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. In Joshua chapter number 14, now they have entered into the land of Canaan, and they have begun possessing the land of Canaan. You'll find that when studying this, that Caleb comes up before Joshua and is able to inquire of the land that he is wanting. You'll find here that he asked for Hebron, and whenever you study it out, the Bible said that there was Anakims there, and if you remember your Bible, you'll remember that Goliath was from Anak in the land of Orion, and the people of the Anakims, it is where the giants was produced at, and the Bible said that there was giants there, but here is what Caleb is wanting. He's saying, man, I don't want to settle for the lowlands. I don't want to settle for halfway up on the mountain. He said, I want on top of the mountain. I want the mountain. What he is saying to us is this: I want the very best that God has for me in my life. I'm not interested in halfway Christianity. I'm not interested in mediocre Christianity. He's saying, I want the best for my life. Can I say something to you tonight? I'm not interested in half of the best for Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Amen. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in three quarters of the best. I'm not interested in 99% of the best for Amazing Grace. Let me tell you what I'm interested in tonight. I'm interested in the very best that God has for us here at our church. And can I say this to you? You should be interested in the very best that God has for our church and the very best that God has for your life. 85 years old, he stands there that day. In my mind, I don't mean this ugly and I don't mean this rude. Don't nobody get mad and walk out. But in my mind, I picture somebody he's probably got a little bit of gray hair. He's probably walking on a cane. He's probably a little bit humpback. And he walks up to Joshua and he says this: I want the mountain. And Joshua tries to explain to him, don't you understand there's giants there? There's walled cities there. Don't you understand there's going to be a battle? There's going to be war there. And you know what Caleb says? Hey, I was good 45 years ago, and I'm still good today. 45 years ago, God promised me that mountain, and I'm going to the mountain. Can I just say something to you? God promised us the best for our lives. Now it's up to us to commit ourselves to doing that. Tonight I want to deal with this subject, Caleb's commitment. Caleb's commitment. 45 years it's been since he walked across the top of the mountain, but he says, I want the mountain. Oh yeah. You say, well, preacher, I remember the way it was back in the good old days. Hear me and hear me well. That may have been the good old days, but the best days is right here. God's not dead. Amen. God's not on vacation. God's not worried about what's going on in our society today. God's still sitting on his throne in all of his glory and all of his power, still wanting to do something. It's up to us to be committed to what he wants to do in our life. I read some things. Let me read you some things. I read this illustration. It said, a fellow said to his wife, why do you call it shop and you never buy anything? She replied, why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything. As believers, we need to do more than just window shop of the promises of God. You know, a lot of times that's what we do. We pick up this book and we window shop of all of the promises God has given us. And we think, boy, can God do that for me? Well, he said this, I'm the Lord thy God and I change not. He said this, he's no respecter of a person. If he allowed David to destroy the giant in his life, he will allow you to destroy the giant in your life. Maybe, just maybe, the problem is this: you're not as committed to it as David was. Maybe it's just this. When somebody, I don't have none of this wrote down, but I'm going to say it anyway. When somebody begins to make a little fun of you like they did David, maybe you cower down from it and walk away from them. That's the reason you can never get victory over that giant in your life. Like Caleb said, I'm 85 and I'm not window shopping of the promises of God. God said we could have the mountain. I'm going to the mountain. Yes, as believers, we need to do more than just read the book. We need to believe what he'll do for us. Caleb was committed. Caleb was committed. The first key to Caleb's success was that God had all of Caleb that there was. Can I say that again? God had all of Caleb that there was. Here's our problem today. We want to live our life Monday through Saturday and then give God Sunday. Right. Amen. We want to live our life Monday through Saturday. And can I just say it this way? Some wants to live their life Monday through Sunday, and when they have time, they'll give God a little bit. And we wonder why we can never have victory over the battles that we're facing. God is not interested in a little bit of you. God's interested in all of you. He had all of Caleb. What was said about Caleb? What was said about Caleb? Three times in our text, it is said that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He wholly, the word committed means this, bound or obligated to a person or a thing. The word holy in our text where he said that he wholly followed the Lord. The word holy means to feel. It carries the idea of filling a cell with air. It is the picture of sales filled to capacity with all the available air so that the ship can move across the waters with maximum speed. In other words, every inch, every millimeter, every centimeter of that sail is filled with air so it can move as swift as it needs to. Can I say something to you tonight? Caleb is saying this, I have raised my sail and Lord, it is empty and I am asking you to fill my sail. I will wholly follow you. Everything that I have, I'm investing in you, Lord. Here it is. Take my life. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. Every bit of it. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure that success of his military venture, ordering his men to halt on the edge of the cliffs of the Dover, he commanded them to look down at the water below. To their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. Now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent from whence they came, they had but one thing to do, and that was to conquer and overcome. Can I tell you what you need to do tonight? You need to take everything from your past and you need to set it on fire. Paul said this, I'm talking about commitment. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things. Can I say something? You need to forget your past failures. We all fail God. We all mess up. We all drop the ball. We all at times are not what we need to be for God. But we need to burn that and let it be gone. We need to forget every bit of our past success You say, preacher, what do you mean? Man, we cannot live in past success. If all we ever do is sit around and talk about, boy, I remember when the church was full. I remember when my Sunday school class was full. I remember when I done this, and I remember when I done that. Man, you're never going to do anything. It's time to burn the past. It's time to push it to the side. It's time to raise the sail and commit ourselves to what God has for us. You begin to study the life of Caleb, and can I tell you something that he done? He committed himself to the Lord. Let me read you a verse right here. The Bible said this in Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 28, nevertheless the people be strong. This is talking about when they spied out Canaan. They dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's what the other 10 was saying. When they went in and overviewed Canaan, can they take it? 10 of them was saying no. But look in chapter 14, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, this is Caleb talking, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. The majority trembled, but Caleb was triumphed. The majority had great giants, but a little God. But Caleb had a great God and little giants. Why? Because of his commitment. And now 45 years later, I'm about to preach myself happy. Now 45 years later, he stands at the mountain and says, it may be 45 years down the road, but give me the mountain, man. His commitment. Said, I'm burning everything. Hey, he had walked through there one time before, but he wasn't satisfied in walking through it. He wanted to live in it. If you're saved, there's probably been some times that you've walked through the glory. I'm not interested in walking through the glory. I'm interested in living in it. Commitment's what it'll take. Commitment is what it'll take. I read this. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed to the repair shop. When they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck deliverer told him, I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill. The man replied, I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on. That's why I kept the brakes on. To live without total dedication to Christ is the same as us trying to go forward and hold the brakes at the same time. It's never going to happen. You're going to have to come to a place where you say, God, here is all of me. Lord, here is my finances. I got three amens, so I'm going to say it again. Lord, here is my finances. I got three, four, maybe that time. I'm going to say it one more time. Whether you agree with me or not, you need to say amen so we can move on. Lord, here is my finances. Lord, here is my family. It's my family. I have my will for my children's life. But you know what? God has his will for them. Matter of fact, God spoke to my heart this morning while the choir was singing about some things, and it's going to make me start praying in a different way about some of it. You say, what did you say to that? I didn't like it, but I said, yes, sir. You say, why? Because I have my will. Are you hearing me? But we must come to a place where I'm talking about getting the best for us in our life. I'm talking about going to the top of the mountain, man. I'm talking about living in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. We have to come to a place where we put it all in his hands. All in his hands. I'll never forget, Brother Granville was preaching here one time. And some of y'all probably remember this, but he took the offering plate and he set it down there. And he reached back in his billfold and he got his billfold and he threw his billfold in it. He reached down in his pocket and he pulled out his keys, and it was a great big key ring. And for you that knows Brother Granville, he's got a very successful business. He owns not a landscaping business, but a grading business. And the Lord's blessed him. And he took those keys and he threw it in that offering plate. And he talked about his family and putting them in the offering plate. And he said, I had to come to a place where I give every bit of it to God. He said, that business is not mine. He said, that's God's business. He's just letting me run it right now. And whenever he tells me to step away from it, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Hear me, young people. You're going to have to come to a place where you throw your dreams down on the altar and you say, God, this is what I would like to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. You have to come to a place, sir, where you throw that dream job down at God's feet and say, God, as long as you let me do it, I'll represent you to the best of my ability. But when the day comes you tell me to walk away from it, then God, that's what I'm going to do. Sir, you have to come to that place in your life where you say, God, I may not be the best at talking, but I meet the qualifications for a preacher. So God, here's my life. If you want me to preach, then I'll preach. Young lady, you have to say, God, allow me to marry who you want me to marry. I'm talking about giving him everything. Giving him everything. Total commitment. We want to give him a little bit. We want to go forward, but we want to set the parking brake at the same time. Oh, I'm preaching good to us tonight. I said us because he's working on me. We've got to come to the, oh man. We got to give it all to him. Sometimes he makes us give him things that is not necessarily a sin.
You're right.
It's not necessarily a sin. But he's seeing if we are truly committed to him. Man, I'm trying to hurry. I want to go home and eat some eggs. But here's what the Bible said in James. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't serve God on one day and the devil on another day and the devil on this day and then God on this day. It's double-minded. I'm talking about total commitment. Jesus demands total surrender. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I just said something about eggs and bacon. I like bacon and eggs. Somebody say amen. Whole hog bacon, the real stuff, amen. The center cup bacon, I love it. I'm going to eat some after church tonight. If Madeline will go to the Beulah Walmarts and get me some. I'm definitely going to eat some eggs. And I thought about this. You know I like bacon and eggs and ham and eggs. Listen to this. The chicken, are you with me? The chicken was definitely involved. But the pig was committed. So what do you mean the pig died? You know what we want to do? We want to be involved. But we don't want to be committed. We want to come to church. But preacher, don't ask me to teach a Sunday school class or fill in, because that means that you're going to expect me to be here every time the doors is open. Preacher, I like coming to church, but man, it is absolutely, well, I'm just going to preach tonight, okay? It's just that, I'm going to preach this way for just a minute. Brother Andy, you want to come sit up here so I can preach to you? It's just absolutely too much of you to ask of me to take a Saturday morning and come help work at the church. Preacher, don't expect me to get up at 5 o'clock and cook bacon for my wife. Preacher, let's have that sunrise service. Praise God, I'm going to eat the bacon and eggs, but don't ask me to come cook nothing. We want to be involved, but we don't want to be committed. C.H. Spurgeon. I'm about done, I think. C.H. Spurgeon, I'm not. I got a lot more, but I'm going to wrap it up here in a minute. C.H. Spurgeon told about the deep love and devotion French soldiers had for their leader, Napoleon. He noted that it was not all unusual for mortally wounded soldiers to raise himself up on one elbow and give a final cheer to his reverend general. And if by chance the dying man saw Napoleon nearby, he would, with his final breath, shout, and I'm probably not going to say this right, "Vive the Emperor," is what he would shout out with his final breath. Perhaps one of the most eloquent expressions of all, however, came from the lips of a soldier who had been shot in the chest. Listen to this. As the surgeon was attempting to remove the bullet, the suffering man was heard to whisper, "If you go much deeper, doctor, you'll come to the emperor." You know what he was saying? He was saying, "I've given my heart to the emperor. If you dig in my chest much, you're going to come to the emperor." If a man that lived on this earth could have that kind of respect, why in the world can we not give that kind of respect to God? Our heart should be Him. Our breath should be Him. Every step of our life should be motivated, amen, by Him. All Jesus wants from you is total commitment. A lot of people has got fire insurance and they're happy with that, but there's so much more to the Christian walk. There's so much more. I'll give you one last illustration. President Eisenhower told this tale. You care, come start playing softly. That's not the tale he told. I'm going to tell the tale. President Eisenhower told this tale. An old farmer had a cow that President Eisenhower wanted to buy. He went over to visit him and ask about the cow's pedigree. The old farmer didn't know what pedigree even meant. So he asked him about the cow's butterfat production. He told us that he didn't have any idea. Finally, President Eisenhower asked him if he knew how many pounds of milk the cow produced each year. The farmer shook his head and said, "I don't know. But she's an honest old cow, and she will give you all the milk she has." God's people needs to be like that honest old cow and give God all that we have. How's our commitment tonight? Here's my point. You ought to be committed to the Scriptures. Committed to the Scriptures. I thought about this verse in Psalms 119:97. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." You ought to be committed to supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. You ought to be committed to the sanctuary. Everybody in here will say amen because you're in the sanctuary tonight. You ought to be committed to the sanctuary. Hey, if you've given God everything, you will be committed to the sanctuary. Church should be your excuse for missing everything else, not everything else your excuse for missing church. Not everything else your excuse for missing church. You ought to be committed to the saints. You ought to be committed to the saints. Every person in here ought to know that you've got their six. You say, "Preach, what do you mean that you've got their back?" Every person in here ought to know that. They ought not have to worry about you saying one wrong thing about them. They'll be committed to each other. Yeah, man. They'll be committed to each other. And I say, you'll be committed to the Savior. And if you'll be committed to the Savior, you'll be committed to the rest of it. What did he say? He said, "I want the mountain." And we'll get to this before I'm done. There's Caleb's reward. He got the mountain. He got it. He lived on the mountain. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You don't have to wait 45 years to get the mountain, though. You can have the mountain tonight. Are you willing to wholeheartedly follow God? Have you given Him everything? Have you given Him everything? Everything. All of it. All of it. So, preacher, you know, I don't know about all of them. There's no "I don't know." My wife is His. My children is His. My dog is his. Some of y'all think she's demon-possessed, but she's really not. It's the funniest thing. Erin come to the house the other day, and when she's at the house in her area, if she bites you, I'm just giving you forewarning. I'm not telling you she won't bite you, okay? Toot the horn if you're scared. Isn't that right, Brother Rodney? Brother Rodney, he thinks she's demon-possessed. But you can take her collar off. She'll jump up on the golf cart. You can ride her right there to the garden. Erin pulled up and he got out. And he seen Poe standing there and he looked a minute. I said, oh, she's fine. She walked up to him, let him pet her and rub all over. But now if she was inside of her fence, it'd have been a whole different story. She's around her house, it's a whole different story. She's protected of that. But my dog, I give her to the Lord too. Some of y'all hoping that he helps her. My goats, they're the Lord. Everything is his. That's what total commitment to Christ is. He said that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's that we live our life on the altar for him. It's our reasonable service. He said it's just reasonable that we do that.